They hiked for 2 days, 16 soldiers from the Army's 10th Mountain Division, climbing over loose shale to reach a barren ridgeline in Afghanistan, hard against the Pakistan border. They were setting up an observation post, laying the groundwork for a sweeping Army incursion into an area controlled by the Taliban. Staff Sergeant John Hawes remembers the smell of mountain sage and trudging along with his friend, Sergeant Jared Monty, a bull of a man who was easy to talk to.
One of the most cherished memories I have of him is the entire two-day climb up that was all our conversations. And he talked about his girlfriend back home. He talked about fishing off the coast in Massachusetts.
Sergeant Monty was not so easygoing when it came to his soldiers' welfare, says Hawes, and not afraid to step on toes.
He had no problem going head-to-head with, an officer.
Going head-to-head when his soldiers were caught up in minor trouble or being ordered to do what Monty called something stupid.
Going on a patrol or taking unnecessary risk. So if somebody was showing a lack of common sense, he'd put them in their place.
But on that June day, there seemed to be little risk and few problems. That is until they saw a man in the valley below, looking up at them through binoculars. Up on the ridge, the soldiers hunkered down as darkness fell in an area studded with rocks and bushes. They heard a noise in the pine trees in front of them. Suddenly, recalls Sergeant Chris Cunningham, an eruption of grenades, machine gun, and rifle fire.
Branches and leaves and everything just started falling all around us from all the explosions. Everybody kind of knew we need to return fire.
But the attack was so intense, says Cunningham, most soldiers couldn't lift their heads above the rocks. He says it was like standing next to a speeding freight train.
Constant violence just coming at you, coming all around you, enveloping you.
The soldiers fired at the silhouettes in the trees, just 30 yards away. Other Taliban were higher up the slope, raining down grenades on the Americans. Cunningham says Monty grabbed his radio and calmly called for more firepower.
Break, 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 and everybody got off the radio. And then he immediately started working indirect fires or mortars.
But those American mortars fell far behind the Taliban force, exploding harmlessly. That's when other Taliban fighters crept toward them.
They got close enough where you could hear them whispering.
Within minutes, one American soldier was wounded, another dead. A third was missing, Private First Class Brian Bradbury.
And we started hollering for Bradbury.
Again, Sergeant Hawes.
And Bradbury answered us from the far end of our position nearest the enemy.
Cunningham, from behind a tree stump, yelled he would go get Bradbury. Sergeant Monty said no.
He's my guy. I'm going to get him.
Cunningham saw Monty dash from behind the safety of the rocks toward Bradbury, just 20 feet away. The other soldiers laid down covering fire.
He was hunched, trying to run. He moved pretty fast.
Monty only got about halfway, says Hawes.
The enemy fire had picked up so much that it drove him back a little bit.
Back behind a stone wall.
Tried making another attempt and was just drove back.
Sergeant Monty rose a third time, recalls Cunningham, but soon disappeared in a cloud.
All I saw was the explosion from behind him.
Hawes and Cunningham could see Monty crawling back toward them.
He screamed out that he'd been hit.
He kept on saying, "Cunny, come get me, come get me." And it really wasn't that long at all.
Cunningham couldn't get his friend only a few feet away. The Taliban fire was still too intense, he says. Monty grew more serene.
I just remember he said in a clear voice, very calm, "Tell my family I'm good with God and that I love them."
Soon, American warplanes dropped bombs. The Taliban retreated. The battle was over. It had been one long hour. They wrapped Sergeant Jared Monty in a poncho, and Cunningham stood over him and said the Lord's Prayer. A helicopter came to pick up the wounded and the dead, including Private Bradbury, the man they tried to save. And just before dawn, the surviving soldiers made their way back down the mountain. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.